So my name is Courtney, and we're going to be reading from Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. And this is what it says. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, I think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, you are so good, and we are honored to be in your presence. And we just pray that you would speak to us, that you would do the work that needs to be done, that you would heal broken hearts, that you would open eyes and scales would drop. Lord, we pray that you would be proclaimed, that your Holy Spirit would overflow onto us, minister to us, rejuvenate us, give water to dry, thirsty land. Lord, we need to hear from you, and we pray in this moment that your words would go forth. I have something so small to offer, and I pray that you would do something big and significant and sufficient for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. So, like I said, my name is Courtney. I work in the youth department. I'm actually the young adult ministry director. And so some of you are kind of underneath me, and some of you will someday be underneath me in the work that I do. But here we are together worshiping the Lord together. And so today I want to kind of outline for you these verses that we just read, because they are the theme for what we're going to be doing this whole year. And we believe that we're going to do something important this year and that you are going to be a part of it. We're actually coming alongside you and the Holy Spirit and the work that the Holy Spirit is going to do in your life. So these verses that we just looked at are written by a man named Paul. And he was writing the book of Philippians while he was actually in prison. He was serving a couple of years under house arrest. And I wonder if you can imagine what it would be like to be locked up in your house and not being able to go outside or do anything for a long period of time. Has anyone experienced that recently? I wonder if you can imagine what he must have been doing in his mind. Like, where was he going? How was he trying to escape in his mind when he was literally locked up? Paul loved the church of Philippi. He spent a lot of time there before he was arrested, and he grew very close to the people there. He loved them, and so he writes them this really lovely letter to his really beloved friends. And really, Paul talks to his friends in this book. He talks to them very gently and with a lot of encouragement. He gives them advice from his own life and tries to put the world into perspective for them. And that's where we get this passage, Philippians 4, 8 through 9. Paul is finishing out his letter, and he gives them this advice. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And I think it would be wise if we took Paul's advice. This guy lived a lot of life. He lived through a lot of very hard things. And even as he's writing that letter, he tells them these specific important words. Because really what these words are that Paul is saying, they are a framework through which we can view the world and a framework by which we can live. This year during Overflow, during this time, we're going to be looking at this passage and exploring different parts of verse 8. We're going to examine them because our desire for you is that you would be able to take these different pieces of advice and apply them to your own life. Our prayer for you is that you start looking at the world and start sifting through everything around you and start to focus on whatever is true, whatever is noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, and praiseworthy. And at the end of the day, our true hope for you is that we can learn together how to become more discerning people. Have you ever heard that word before, discerning? Sometimes you hear it in church, and often it will be used to describe someone. Like, that person is so discerning of what the right thing to do is. or people with discernment are wise and can sift through what is true and what is false. People who are discerning are able to move through life and choose what is good for them to do and reject what they know will be bad for them. Discerning people are able to determine the right direction to go in life. Maybe you know some people who are discerning, and maybe you know some people who aren't that discerning at all. They're fools. They make bad decisions. Discernment is this. It simply means developing a taste for what is good. Discernment is developing an instinct for quality, a refined sensibility, an eye for value to know the difference between what is good and what is not in order to partake in the goodness. And we want you to develop a taste for goodness. Some people are gifted with discernment. That's like actually a gift of the Spirit. It comes supernaturally to them. And for some people, discernment is like a truly supernatural gift that just is like intuitive and makes sense to them. But for many of us, discernment is actually just a skill you have to learn. We have to really use our minds and our hearts and practice this skill over and over again. And discernment is what helps us make good decisions, like which college we should go to, who are the safe people to tell our secrets to, which churches speak the truth, what type of people should you date, what type of job should you take. All those things require discernment. Discernment can also help us determine the type of content we should consume. Discernment helps us know what is good for ourselves. But more specifically, discernment helps us know what God desires for our lives. And the first step towards developing a good taste, a taste for what is good in the world, is to look at what Paul writes here in Philippians 4:8. For Paul, the first thing that we should hold in our minds, the very first thing that we should think about as Christians is whatever is true. Easier said than done, right? Whatever is true. Has anyone in the past few years, either you or maybe you've watched your family members or leaders, have any of you had a hard time determining what the truth is? Has anyone been confused about how they're supposed to proceed because they don't know what is true or what is not true? Have any of you ever been overwhelmed by so much information coming at you that you can no longer tell what the truth is? Have any of you been confused on where you should be getting your news from? Has anyone had some serious questions come up about your faith in Christianity and you're not sure what is true anymore? Maybe some of you are young enough that this is your normal. You don't know that that's weird. I'm going to tell you, it didn't used to be like that. And there's a reason why Paul mentions truth as the first thing to keep in your mind, because truth is the foundation on which everything in our life is built. All of our knowledge is built upon whether things are true or not. The first thing in your mind should be the concept of true and that anything that is true. Your life is going to be really rough if the primal thing of your mind is a lie. Nothing's going to make sense. And we have been living in a time when it's difficult to determine the truth. That's a scary thing. Maybe you're familiar with this verse. In the beginning of John chapter 1, it says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Are you familiar with that passage? This passage is so powerful because what it is actually telling us is that the foundation of all reality, the truth of all creation, is this thing called the Word, or the Logos in Greek. And the Word was at the beginning. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made through the Word. The Word was life. And that Word was the light of all mankind. The Word was the first thing. The Word is the foundation of all things. The Word is the truth that we can build everything upon. The word logos in Greek means something deeper than just the word. When John used it, what he really meant is that in the beginning was God's creative word. It was God's holy wisdom personified. It was the creative principle that gave logic and harmony to all existence. Logos is the act of talking things into being and order. And to make things even more complicated, the Logos, the word, isn't just a concept. John tells us that it is actually a person. And that person is the word. The word is a person. Truth is a person. And all reality, all truth, all power, all movement, all existence is found in that person. So who is that person? That person is God made flesh, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the man who was born of a virgin in a stable, grew up in poverty in a small town in Roman-occupied ancient Israel, grew up to become a carpenter, became a rabbi, and was crucified, died, and buried, and then resurrected from the dead. Jesus Christ is the truth of all creation. Jesus Christ is the truth of all reality and all existence. Jesus Christ is the truth and foundation of all that is. Jesus Christ is the I am. Jesus reveals and teaches truth, but he also inhabits truth. He is the word become flesh, and he is full of grace and truth, and he is in fact the truth, and there is no truth that transcends or surpasses or goes beyond him. He is the truth. Very simple, right? Very easy to understand. Makes perfect sense. No. If you think you can perfectly understand that, you should come up here and teach, because I can't wrap my brain around that. I can just say those things to you, but I don't know what it really means. The idea that Jesus Christ is the truth of the whole universe is too much for our puny human brains to understand. It's a great mystery to me, and it's a great mystery of the whole universe. And yet, listen to this. As a Christian, this mystery is the truth that I have devoted to build my life upon. This mystery is the truth of my life. And if you are a Christian, please hear this. If you are a Christian, this mystery should also be your truth. This is the truth that you are to set your mind upon, as Paul says in Philippians. So, friends, if you want to be a discerning human being, you must first accept that this truth, that Jesus Christ is God and that Jesus Christ is the truth. I think that there's a few of us in this room who do not believe that Jesus Christ is God. A few of you don't even believe that God is real, maybe. But I want to tell you that God is real. God is in three persons, Father, Spirit, and Son. And God is love. And God loves you. God loves you. That is the truth of all reality. The scriptures teach us that if you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, comes and dwells inside of you. What a mystery. And when the Spirit of God comes to dwell inside of you, some truly amazing things occur. The first thing is that you are made holy. You are cleansed and transformed, and then you start to take on the characteristics of God. Through the power of the Spirit of Christ in your life, you start to become more fully who God created you to be. You can become more loving. You become more forgiving. You become more patient and gracious and lovely, and you become more truthful. Because here's the thing. When you build your life upon the truth that is Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ will start to manifest truth in your own life. So, here's the question. How do we as Christians set our minds on whatever is true? How do we do that? The first thing is that we must know the truth of Jesus Christ. We must know that Jesus Christ is the truth. Do you know that? The second is this. We must spend time with and immerse ourselves with the one who is the truth. We must pray and spend time with the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. We have to read our Bibles and learn the teachings of Jesus, the one who revealed and taught the truth. And when we start to spend time with and know the one who is the truth, we will start to see the truth that is all over the world. We will develop the skill to see truth. My husband was a very avid skateboarder as a teenager. And to this day, he still goes out to skateboard when our kids go to sleep. And he claims to not be a very good skateboarder, but he is very humble. So I think he's probably better than he thinks he is. But I also don't know very much about skateboarding. But in the past year, he's gotten really into trying to find places that would be great spots to skateboard at. And sometimes he'll go and fix up places so that other people can go skateboard in those spots. What a mystery my husband is. If you are ever in the car with him and we're driving in a new neighborhood or we're in a town that we've never been to before, he will point out the window at random ledges and stairs and sidewalks, curbs, and he'll yell out, "Skate spot!" Or, "Wow, look at all these great skate spots. People should be skateboarding here. All these spots you could go skateboarding." And I believe he even recently started an Instagram account where he posts skate spots he finds or he fixes up. Wow. What a mystery. Recently, my 4-year-old son has also started pointing out the window and saying, "Skate spot." Or, "Look, Dad, is that a good skate spot?" Or, "Dad, are we going to go out today and look for cool skate spots? Wow, so many skate spots here." He sounds just like his dad. It's very cute. But what also has happened here is that my 4-year-old son, who has spent all his time around his dad, observing him point out spots, watching him, listening to him, and learning from him, he has now started to do the things that my husband does. He has now adopted the lens for skate spots. The same thing can happen for us as Christians. We can learn and take on the lens of discerning where truth is in the world. We can grow familiar with Christ, the truth. When we go out into the world, we too can start to see where the truth is and what is the truth. So whereas my husband and son might look at a curb or a railing and see a skate spot at the same time, I can watch a movie and recognize the truth of Christ in a monologue by an actor. Or perhaps I can listen to a teaching by a pastor and I will be able to recognize the truth of Christ's teachings within what they're saying. Or maybe I'll be able to say, that's not the truth. Or maybe I'll listen to a friend of mine talking to me and I'll be able to see that Christ is not in their words, that is not the truth of the universe. And therefore, I'll be able to recognize it's harmful. And I'll be able to step away and say, that's not the truth. Jesus wants us to accept him as the truth. But then we also need to spend time with him and get to know him. We need to let ourselves be transformed by his spirit and learn to recognize truth in the world. But then Jesus desires for us to actually start operating within truth as well. We are not just observers of truth. We start living truth. We start manifesting truth. Jesus wants us to be truth tellers. Jesus desires for us to turn on the light in dark places to reveal the truth. Jesus wants us to be so obsessed with the power of truth that we change the world by creating spaces of truth. Truth liberates people and systems. And Jesus's desire for the world is freedom. Truth begets transparency and accessibility. Truth facilitates creativity and collaboration. But in order for you to be able to do all of those things, you have to open yourself up to the one who is the truth. I'm going to invite the band up. But I want you to think right now, do you know the truth? Do you know the one who is the truth? Are you confused by what is going on around you? Or do you have a foundation of truth? And it can be scary sometimes to submit yourself over to a truth, right? And not hold it on to yourself and think that you can handle everything yourself. But this thing we do in Christianity with Jesus requires that we submit, that we enter into, that we accept and we say There's something bigger than me. There's something more than what I can handle. And that is God. So my first question for you is, do you know the truth? Do you know the person who is truth? Does the spirit of truth, the spirit of Christ, dwell inside of you? Have you been transformed by truth, the one who is true? I wonder also if you have developed that lens for truth. Maybe you're in the process of it. This is something that happens over our whole lifetime. We become more discerning people. But here's a more important question. I wonder if you desire to see the truth. I wonder if you look at the world around you and you're like, no, I don't want to deal with the things that are hard. I just want to escape into something's easy. I want to be able to deny what's happening. That isn't what God desires for us. God desires for the light to be turned on, the truth to be revealed, and for things to be liberated and changed. Are you a discerning person? Do you desire to be a discerning person? I hope you do. And I wonder if you are enacting truth in the world. Or are you letting lies go by? Are you letting your friends just say things that are not true? Are you letting systems and politicians get away with just lying? Are you getting away with you lying to yourself? Are you letting the devil lie to you? There's no space for that in Christianity. There's no space for that in this thing that we do with Jesus. There is only room for truth. There's only room for light. So we're going to take just a couple minutes here for you to talk to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit to talk to you. If you'd like, there's cushions up here you can grab and you can sit on the floor. If you'd like somebody to pray with you, if you have a leader here, you can go pray with your leader. You can pray in your seat. But sometimes it's just good to open yourself up to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. What can I do better? What more truth do you want to reveal to me? So we're just going to spend some time in prayer. Come if you'd like. If you'd like me to pray with you, I'll pray with you. If you specifically would like to be a more discerning person, let's pray for that this morning. Let's ask the Spirit of God to make you more discerning so you can make better decisions with your life and that you would be a worker of truth in the world. So let's just spend some time. Do what you feel like the Holy Spirit wants you to do. Respond to the Holy Spirit. Because I also want to tell you that the truth of Jesus Christ is that he is kind and good. Sometimes it feels scary to respond to Jesus, but I promise you he will be gentle with you. He'll be kind to you. This isn't a scary thing that needs to happen. It's only good and fruitful.